Okay, Danda, you're on.
Okay, just recently in the ashram, one of our hot taps is broken for one of our showers, and we've all been faced with the prospect of maybe having cold showers and been trying to avoid it. And
how horrible.
It's sent the train of thoughts, thinking how some attitudes and practices in ISKCON has changed since what I've read about it. Prabhupada's time, stuff like cold showers, attitudes towards kami food, dress, importance morning program, etc. And actually, an example of a cold shower, when new devotees come along, then you might read about having have to have a cold shower. They'll ask me, do we have to do that? And if I don't take one myself, then I'll have to justify not taking it and maybe qualify what Prabhupada's saying. But it's just an example of changing the Prabhupada's teachings. It's a danger in changing ISKCON's purity by.
That's the natural tendency of anything that in Kali Yuga maintenance, or in Kali Yuga, just in the material world, to maintain anything, what to speak of standards of austerity, are always going to be a real challenge, and it will require devotees who are really devoted and dedicated to that in order to wish for followers, in order to maintain those standards. I mean, the cold shower is sort of the least of the worries. Although, yeah, when we joined, we took cold showers, and Srila Prabhupada also, all his life he did it, until he had his heart condition, and then he stopped. I did it for most of my Krishna consciousness, until my tendency to get cold was such that a cold shower would mean a cold. But still, it's a very healthy thing. And once you get used to it, it's not an issue anymore. And by contrast, hot showers are not healthy. But at least a good compromise is to take a warm shower and soap off and then rinse off with cold water. But, yeah, the shower is the least of it. Morning program, regulative principles, Srila Prabhupada's teachings, what Srila Prabhupada wrote in his books, the tendency to change those is more of a threat than the shower. You can still get back to Godhead taking a warm shower. Anything wrong with that?
Like, it's a danger for ISKCON, but say with Christianity, then over the years they've changed over times, so
yeah.
Say, and to something which to protect ISKCON from not falling into that trap.
It's nothing to protect it. Nothing to protect it other than, we have an institution, and other than Krishna consciousness, there's nothing to protect us from changing things in the same way that only strict following of Jesus Christ, and maybe you could say Christ consciousness, would protect Christianity. So this following is not something that you replace with everything, other than the inspiration to follow is that someone is actually a strict follower. So if we're practicing Krishna consciousness nicely, regulated principles, chanting 16 rounds, then Krishna's impetus or Krishna's prompting for us not to change things will be felt within the heart. And that's about the only safeguard. Of course, there's institutional safeguards and so on, but they're sort of reactive rather than proactive. So, you know, ISKCON can pass legislation that everyone should take a cold shower, but not that it's going to. That's not really stuff of legislation. Maybe it's the stuff of some kind of standards committee. But, you know, the institution could only react when, you know, it comes to light that someone isn't taking a cold shower somewhere. But in order to inspire people, then that good practices, it's like a government can pass law against thieves, but you know, police department is necessary to catch the thieves. Whereas if by good education and training people can be taught, well, stealing isn't good, then you avoid the need. Of course, police department will always be there, so also legislation will always be there. Krishna consciousness is the real basis.
Do you feel that as devotees we maybe don't realise the responsibility we have as representatives, but devotees look at us, new devotees, we think we're devotees when we don't see the effect our example has on others coming mm-hmm. along?
Yeah, that's a very good point. That not even just on new devotees, but even new devotees, that they immediately conscious of the fact that they're representatives and that they're representing not just a form of dress or not just a religion, but they're representing a real style, lifestyle, and values. We use that word, values. So they need to really conduct themselves accordingly. Yeah, it's a responsibility that's there on everyone. What to speak of, Prabhupada will give emphasis to older senior devotees, second initiated devotees, brahmanas. Because teaching means teaching by example. You know, very relevant.
Do you see ISKCON developing in such a way where there may be some different standards for those, like say, in Christianity, you have monks and priests, who, and then you have lay people, where there'd be different standards for each area? Do you think ISKCON will develop where you have those who are very strictly following, and then common masses, maybe don't take as the same strictness in their practice?
There are different standards for different levels of commitment. You know, a standard is based on what type of commitment someone's made. So for instance, someone who's not initiated, he's not obliged to the same standards as someone who is. A grihastha is not expected to have the same lifestyle as a sannyasi. A brahmachari lives different than a grihastha does. So you do have things that are different, and then you have things that are really common, for instance, amongst initiates, regulative principles and 16 rounds are common. For brahmachari and sannyasi, generally speaking, temple life and morning program at the temple is their responsibility, whereas grihasthas, they may not, their morning program will not necessarily be at a temple if they're not living very close, and that's also all right. Service is common to all of them, but brahmacharis will do 8 hours of service a day, whereas grihasthas who have to maintain themselves, they do less service on a daily basis. And in fact, it may not be on a day, it may be on the weekend, but they also need to do service. So there are quantitative differences, and sometimes there's also qualitative differences. And all of those are should be kept in mind, so it's not that it's just one shoe that fits everyone. Definitely not. But according to people's commitment, yes, what you're committed to, that you have to follow. So if you committed yourself to become an initiated member of a Gaudiya Sampradaya, then according to your varna and ashram, you're obliged to maintain the standards that are inherent for your particular position. Stane stita. Everyone has their different dharma, swadharma. People have different dharmas. As long as they follow their dharma, then they're fine. So Lord Chaitanya was very affectionate with his grihastha associates, but when Chota Haridas tried to act in a different way other than what's befitting for, well, it said he was a sannyasi, but I think he was officially more just a unmarried, then he was very angry with him. And, you know, while Ramananda Roy lived in opulence as a retired governor, that was all right. Simultaneously, Lord Chaitanya, you know, didn't even like Sanatana Goswami to have a blanket, an opulent blanket. So different standards for different people, and they need to be that needs to be kept in check. But all of them were dedicated to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Chaitanya's mission in their own. In their own particular way. Maharaj Pratapa Rudra. Someone any further on that?
Within ISKCON, there seems to be, we have a fairly informal way of training as opposed to some other religions. Do you think it's the strength, or do you think we should have a more formal training procedure?
More formal. And it's certainly much more formal than it used to be 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We have even in Srila Prabhupada's time, the Srila Bhakta program was meant for training. And so is now we have, you know, you have, for instance, the manor, they have training programs. And they also send devotees to India, and Hungary, all of our devotees have to take 3-year Bhakti Shastri course at the college as part of their training and education so that they actually have scriptural training, more than just Bhagavatam classes, but systematic training in scriptures. And Prabhupada wanted it. He wanted Bhakti Shastri course. He wanted Bhakti Shastri. He laid it out from Bhakti Shastri all the way to Bhakti Sarvabhauma. So, and not only just, and then that scripture, but aside from scripture, then devotees also should have education in just lifestyle and values and preaching, and just like Navasheshka Prabhu is sort of educating devotees in book distribution. So up to now we just sort of educated the full-time devotees, but to see that if you educate members of the congregation, then they become as much of a Sankirtan force as anybody else. Hey, Shambhihari.